flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the Fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Got to put one up. Jokic for the win.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hardman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Morning, welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor, freshly cut Rashawn Taylor.
Yeah, man, had to do the big chop.
Rocking some Dasani over there. Bold choice, my man.
Man, I just wanted some water, man. You guys are water snobs, man. Only water I'm not messing with is Arrowhead. Outside of that, man, shoot it.
I like Aquafina. Smart Water's really good. That's up there on my hierarchy.
I do like Smart Water.
Doesn't Coca-Cola own Smart Water?
Yes, they do.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. And,
so they got me.
Jordan Schultz behind the glass there.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. I needed a, I still need a caffeine kick. I still got my energy drink over here to my right that I need to open, but...
You caffeines.
Got my coffee.
Over here.
Yes, yes. But I even went and got myself a Mexican Coke this morning.
Oh, that's the... Those are... You're going to drink Coke. That's the best one.
Exactly.
Absolute banger.
Those are the perfect.
Seriously, I don't
perfect
do that. Choice. I don't drink, like, soda in the morning like that, but there was something. I woke up this morning, it was just...
Seriously,
like, I don't know. Mexican Coke must have been in my dreams or something.
Mexican Coke, Mexican Sprite just hit different.
Mexican Squirt?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know if I've had the Squirt
yet. They got Mexican Squirt in a glass bottle as well.
That sugar that they're using in Mexico has...
It's Coke.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
it's just straight up cocaine.
It's something.
They're cutting those sodas with cocaine.
And you only get the bottles are what, like, the Mexican Cokes are what, like, $3, $4 for the
place,
12 ounce?
The place, yeah, it's like, I think, what is that, the 7-Eleven, I stopped by on the way here, it was like $2.29 for one of them. Unless you get the Medio Litro, the bigger ones.
Oh, yeah,
yes, that's the one massive
I need
one,
that man. One.
The place I went to last night, boy, the markup on those Mexican Cokes. I didn't get one, but I saw it on the menu. $6.
I already know. All right, no. Anytime you go to a Mexican restaurant, if you want one of those Cokes, it's going to be $6. Least $4.
Well, I want to say what up the street from my girl's house, there's a Tight Tacos, and you can get one of the bigger Mexican Cokes. And yeah, I want to say it's like $5. I would have been curious if this place last night would have had one of the big ones or if it was like a 12-ounce bottle. My guess is it was probably a 12-ounce bottle that they were selling for $6.
So with Mexican food, is the Coke your go-to drink?
Oh, the Mexican Coke? Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely. I'm not getting a horchata or anything like that.
No, my wife's a horchata girl. She loves the horchata.
It's like watery milk with cinnamon, isn't it?
It's rice milk with basically cinnamon. So
rice
yeah.
milk.
Gross.
Yeah. Nah, I'm out.
So I think rice milk is kind of watery. But.
Get me that just pure, straight American whole milk, baby, with the red cap.
Nah, I mean, yeah, if I really want something to drink, then it's probably going to be
water.
Mexican Coke. Or for the most part, it's water. Like, I'm a water guy. You know, I don't really need, you know, a whole lot. Sometimes I'll get real, like, man, I think I'll have, like, a Cherry Coke. And now, since I don't really drink soda I drink is, like, sugar-free, you know? And so, like, Cherry Coke, sugar free, no sugar or no sugar Sprite. That's pretty much all I drink if I do drink soda.
The zero? You going diet or you going zero?
I'm going zero.
Yeah, because there is a difference.
I'm going zero.
I hear there's some nutritional properties with Coke Zero.
Well, it has regular, you know, like sugar substitute instead of aspartame in it.
Made with like monk fruit, you know, and stuff like that.
Made from monk fruit?
Yeah, which is like a, you know, like stevia or something like that.
The natural sweetener.
What the hell?
Yeah, I went and bought monk fruit. It was actually great. It's instead of sugar, like mixing everything with that. It's super expensive, but instead of sugar, mixing stuff with that.
Hitting up the H-mark for that or something?
Well, you know, and without going on medical and stuff, you know, being a new diabetic, and there are certain things, like, you still don't have sweet stuff anymore. So it's got to be mindful about doing it. And so discovered the monk fruit. First thing I did is I made some tea. So I made some iced tea, and it was awesome.
Monk fruit.
Heck yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I've been, what I did in January, this is part of the trying to figure out a healthier lifestyle.
Hell yeah.
All of January, I tracked everything I drank, like, outside of water. So every energy drink I had, every soda that I had, and every alcoholic beverage that I had, I tracked it all.
Yeah, I remember last week you told me the numbers were pretty,
So I have the final January count.
Oh, let's
couple
get it.
Shots of Jaeger.
Let's get the number.
Cheeseburger. What do you want first? You want the alcohol?
Let's hear the alcohol.
Yeah,
let's start
whatever.
There.
Not crazy. Okay. So 31-day month of January, 36 total drinks. It's not bad. That's basically one a day.
Dry January almost.
And 12 of those came within one weekend.
Oh, yeah, you were hitting it hard.
9 were on one night. Just went in, had myself a good time.
Binge drinking Joe over here.
And I tracked also like what it was I had drank, you know, so whether it's like 2 pints, hazy IPA, glass of wine, you know, glass of wine. For that, I just put everything.
Yeah, just
because there was
whatever,
everything.
There was
involved.
Nothing that I didn't
all
drink
of it.
That
yes,
night.
Yeah. And then the next day, I just needed some hair of the dog and had 3 pints. So 12 of my 36 fell within one weekend.
Well, Damn, that's still, you know.
So if you exclude those 2 days.
Considering how much you actually, like, mind you, I don't want to put it out there or, like, say that, like, Joe's drinks a lot. But, you know, younger dude, you know, in a relationship that's almost over a year now.
About a year and a half
a year and a half now. So young couples going out, having drinks, doing stuff. Joe's a golfer. So, of course, that's one of those things you do out there. So it's not like drinking all the time, you know. So 36, especially considering like a couple of those were just some long nights that you were hanging out. That's not bad. Considering you said 12 one night and
well,
9.
That's 12 one weekend.
And one weekend and then 9 another weekend. So that's most of it right there.
Now that 9 came on that one weekend of 12 drinks. That was 9 of the 12 was that one night.
Yeah.
And then I went golfing, what is it, a week ago, and there were 6 drinks that were in that. So really, I mean, like 15 of the... Or what is it? 18 of the 30, so half of them fell within a 3 days of the month. Throughout the rest of the month, I'm just having, you know, one here, one there, not having anything. I feel like that's pretty good.
I mean, that's cool. Like, I can't drink like that, you know. I know a few weeks ago, I was like, I don't think I'm drinking anymore. I had one, like, the other day. I'm still kind of like, just makes me tired. Like, and so I think that was more kind of the that's what I needed. That's what I needed to know. I was like, okay, this wasn't as great as I thought it would be. Watching the Royal Rumble last night and had quite a few of them as my guy Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble for WWE, which was
lame.
Awesome fun. Man, get out of here. Dope.
Lame.
You're one of those weirdos. Either way, after it was over and it was right around 7:30, I was just like, I'm sleepy. Time to kind of knock out. And I was like, yeah, that's not the feeling you want, you know, after you've been doing that at 7:30. So yeah, that was the clarity I needed, I suppose.
Of my my soda consumption, only 14 sodas over the month.
It's pretty good.
And 10 of the 14 Mexican Coke.
Okay.
So you go with the real sugar.
So you want to go all the sugar.
Well, yeah. It's actually better. I don't want to, like, get too high and preachy here, like, on a hill. But if you want to go soda or, like, a sugar option, it's just better if you're looking at, like, diet, you know, or zero. Go zero. But if you're going to go, like, diet, just don't go regular soda instead. Like, the aspartame is so bad for you. There are so many cancer-causing qualities in it. Don't drink the diet soda, please.
Do you want to hear the weird part? Since I have been drinking, like, no sugar, when I do have something with sugar, like a sip of soda or juice, I'm like, my God, that is liquid diabetes right there.
Jeez. It's like, so just drink a shot of, like, peated whiskey or something like that.
Yeah.
My God, just what's in that?
Just a shot of corn syrup is what it, you know, is what it tasted like. And so I actually prefer zero sugar stuff now. So, I mean, I'm not even tripping that I can't have stuff. Unless I see a Mexican Coke, and then I'm like, ugh, that does look good. No.
McDonald's, underrated if you get the Coca-Cola from there. They store it in, I think it's like an aluminum, like, encasement. So when you bring it and you get it, like, at the fountain, it's, like, much different than Coke that you get out of the bottle or out of the cans. It's really good. It almost tastes like Mexican Coke.
I don't know what kind of electricity they put in the Coca-Cola and Sprite from McDonald's.
But what's this here? Yeah, I feel like the McDonald's Sprite, there's always been, like, this...
You talk about different...
This reputation.
Yes, it's a different flavor. It's because they store it in a metal encasement. I'm serious. Yeah. So the way that they bring it to you and the way that McDonald's gets it distributed, it's got a different flavor, and it's better than basically anywhere else you can get it if you're just going regular soda,
I don't know.
Of course,
I think it,
and
me,
not the Mexican
to me,
Coke
that,
option.
That's too strong. Like, when I drink Sprite from McDonald's, I'm like, ugh, this is super. Like, again, it's, like, made with volts of batteries. It's crazy, man.
It's like got acid in it.
I love a good cold, icy cold Sprite on a hot summer day. Yeah. I feel like that
not many drinks go harder than Sprite
on a hot day. Summer day, that just is an absolute banger. That's a top five soda and soda situation right there.
I mean, I think Sprite is definitely a top five seed, you know, of all of them. But,
and again, yeah, Mexican Coke with a Mexican meal like tacos or something like that. That, I think that is also in the top five.
I don't know, man. That's again, this is where water is always a one seed, because on a hot day, and especially growing up for a lot of us who know that had to drink out of the hose in the summertime and stuff like that. Like, man, seriously, there's I don't think there's anything on a hot day. Water one, maybe lemonade, I think maybe a Sprite, you know, maybe.
See, I'm trying to think of soda and setting and, like, meal combination, you know, again, like Sprite, summer Sprite, hot day, ice cold, poured over ice. That's a top five.
That's in there.
Mexican Coke with a with
that's
tacos,
also top five.
A torta,
straight out the bottle,
a burrito, something like that. Mm. That's a top five. A Mountain Dew after you just got done shredding down the mountain.
Oh
all
yeah,
day.
Bro.
Top five, bro. Yeah,
love, I mean, me a Mountain Dew,
especially if we're
Code talking, Red, especially.
Especially if we're talking Baja Blast.
I was gonna say, I mean, honestly, a Baja Blast with Taco Bell, that might be a top five
yeah,
right there too.
That's one of those combos right there. Like, listen, now that they make Baja Blast again, they have a sugar free option.
I will
now
never have Baja Blast outside of Taco
you
Bell
are tripping.
From the tap.
You are tripping.
I want that is the only time I will have Baja
you're
Blast.
An aficionado.
Canned Baja Blast are awesome.
Nope,
thank you, Taco
it.
Bell, for sharing.
Yeah, I mean, it was only right that they did that after so many years.
After they saw how popular it was, yeah, you could only get it there. Why not?
I mean, still, there's part of me that's like the allure of the Baja Blast is that you can only get it at Taco Bell.
It's true. The exclusivity.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, from the fountain, I mean, soda from the fountain is usually better.
Typically, yeah, until they made those new soda things where you go in, you can choose whatever.
Oh, the
kind
soda,
of soda.
Those
yeah,
aren't
soda
as
streams.
Good.
The only place you can get strawberry soda was Popeyes.
Huh. Who strawberry else? Soda, like strawberry Fanta? Or
yeah,
like,
I think it's
yes,
strawberry
please.
Fanta. Like, the only place you could do that was Popeyes.
Well,
very few places serve strawberry anything unless you're like a chicken spot.
Was Code Red more like cherry than strawberry?
I think so.
I mean, I love that S.
Yeah.
Like,
Code Red was legit.
Or how about Code Red while playing COD or Halo 2?
Oh,
man.
My God.
Remember those days?
Absolutely.
Get
man.
Your extra. Get
some, play some Guitar Hero.
Spicy Cheetos.
Oh, yeah.
Better than doing Adderall and playing Halo for two straight days. Don't ask me how I know that.
I don't know. Is it is Adderall or just drinking straight soda?
Maybe
we
might need to talk during the break, Joe, and figure out what's going on with you. But
sure. Hey, you know, Sherwood High School.
Both are bad.
You know, growing up in Sherwood, not a lot to do, man. You know.
Yeah, I've driven through there. You're right about that.
The teens need to find ways to preoccupy themselves. Don't do Adderall.
Let's walk down to the 7-Eleven unless prescribed. I would agree.
Speaking of on drugs. We're going to get to the NBA. This is a great because this is the lull week of the NFL playoffs.
We're
waiting for the Super Bowl. We don't know what the hell to talk about. I was, at 9 o'clock last night, I was about to text you guys and just be like, you know what? Let's just cancel the show.
Yeah, we don't need to do anything going on.
Let's just not even do a show.
And the NBA gods.
I was sitting at dinner. And I don't remember what I was talking about with my girlfriend. She was in the middle of saying something. We were in the middle of talking about it. And then I look at my phone and the world just stops. It was almost as if I'm like tunnel vision. Everything around me just started getting fuzzy. I couldn't hear anything, couldn't see anything. And then I just had to interrupt her. I'm like, babe, I'm sorry. But there was just a monumental, earth-shattering, earth-shaking trade in the NBA. Really? That's nice.
Yep.
Doesn't care at all.
Okay, whatever. Moving on.
But when I said the names to her, she was like, oh, okay. That's something. But but for us who care about sports in the NBA, we have to talk about quite possibly the biggest trade, the most shocking trade in NBA history that went down last night. We're going to get to some other stuff. Can the Pro Bowl be saved in any capacity? Maybe do some award stuff, but I mean, this trade is definitely going to take up some time. I think we do have to get, to our, Blazers after another successful evening.
Good Lord. What, 7 of 8 now?
Let's go. Now they're hooping.
Yeah, playing. Yeah.
Let's go.
But first let's start with the trade that went down last night, the earth-shattering trade in NBA. We get to that next here on Football Sunday, but what is being colloquially called today, what the hell is going on in the NBA Sunday? We get to that next on 1080 The Fan. It's a trade that you'll always remember where you were, what you were doing when it went down. I was eating a nice Argentinian steakhouse meal for my birthday last night. 33 years old.
Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Made it. Never thought I'd see this age, Rashad.
I doubt that, but yeah.
Growing up in Sherwood, I was hearing gunshots every morning. That's mostly because the Tri-County Gun Range was within hearing distance. Yeah.
Right down the hill from the gun club.
Waking up Saturday, Sunday mornings to just gunshots. It was a tough life, all right?
You are Malibu's most wanted. You are a B-Rad G.
Everybody strap one
and
nine.
That is okay. Yeah, that is okay. I want my kids to be B-Rad G, too. Don't worry about it, bro. That's a good thing.
But the biggest, most shocking trade in NBA, I think we can comfortably say. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody knew that Luka Doncic was available. Nobody knew that the Lakers even were thinking about getting rid of Anthony Davis. But sure enough, that is what happened. Now, try to get the full trade details and everything here. Because the main parts of this is that Luka Doncic will be going to the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis will be going to the Dallas Mavericks. The full trade, though, is Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleba, and Markieff Morris to the Los Angeles Lakers, Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick will be going to the Dallas Mavericks. The Jazz were also involved in this trade. They got,
And the Jazz were in it, too.
They got, like, two second-round picks and some other dude. So, I mean, they helped facilitate the trade. But, I mean, the big part of this, obviously, Anthony Davis going to Dallas. But I would say the bigger part of all this, Luka Doncic going to the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, 28 other teams last night found out that Luka Doncic was even available for trade. Like,
seriously.
There was no lead up to this. There was no rumors. We've been hearing the last three, 4 weeks that Jimmy Butler's looking for a trade and that that might happen. Nobody in the world knew that Luka Doncic was on the market or that the Mavericks were looking to trade him. Like, there was nothing that got out. I mean, maybe inside NBA circles, but again, it seemed like even like when Shams Charania is even like, yeah, this is real.
Yeah, has like, to confirm.
Like, oh God. He's even caught off guard. A bunch of NBA reporters are caught off guard. It is the most stunning trade that I have ever seen, really, in sports. Like, I'm trying to think of NFL, MLB.
I've been thinking since last night, like, what is a trade that was as big as this, where you had two huge names on both ends, the best players on each team. Let's just be honest. Right now, Anthony Davis is the best player, or was the best player on the Lakers.
Well, I mean,
no, that's a thing. He was the best. He was the best overall player at the moment on the Lakers, and obviously Luka was the best player on.
I'm gonna strongly disagree that LeBron James was the second player.
As of right now, is where they stand in the NBA. I think Anthony Davis, for what he's able to do, is a better player than LeBron James is. Overall, is LeBron?
Can you
better?
Shake that water bottle? I want to make sure there isn't vodka.
No, there's definitely no vodka in it. But okay. I'm saying, if you're talking overall legacy, of course it's LeBron James. But right now, at 40-year-old LeBron James and 9-year-old Anthony Davis, yes. 31-year-old Anthony Davis, yes. He's the better.
I checked last night because I was curious. I was like, wait, all right, well, you know Luka's 25, but how old is Anthony Davis?
Yeah, so he's 31. So he's still in that window of kind of prime Anthony Davis. Right now he was playing like it before the injury for the most part. So this is – I don't know if there's ever been – there's been big deals where a big name gets traded and the other team gets like – a bunch of stuff, you know, a la the Trailblazers in Milwaukee this past summer. But this is the first time I can remember two superstar players being traded, you know, to their respective teams. Like, I've never seen that. I'm looking through right now, like, here are the biggest trades considered. And this was posted 6 hours ago. Here are the biggest trades considered in the history of the NBA. This is the first one, right? Yeah. And then the second one is Shaq to Miami. And mind you, Shaq got traded for, like, Caron Butler and Lamar Odom or something like
Brian
that. Like,
Grant was Brian, thrown yeah, in that trade, Brian, I believe. Man,
like, it wasn't like there was no like superstar. Now, obviously, it worked out for the Lakers. They got two championships out of Lamar Odom. Miami got a championship with Shaq, so it worked out for both places. But still, at the time, Shaq was the big name that was moving. Kareem got traded to L.A., and how about this? It doesn't even say who he got traded for. So that's how big – to let you know how big that trade was. Barkley to Phoenix.
A plumber and a janitor.
Probably at that time, a washing machine like in Jackie Moon. even though we needed our washing machine, like we kind of traded it away. That's pretty much what they traded Kareem for. Charles Barkley to Phoenix in 92. Who did Barkley get traded for? Anybody know?
I don't. I can't remember.
Exactly.
I would even say like the Scottie Pippen trade was one of the bigger ones in recent NBA history, but that was for a bunch of like little pieces in a bag of chips. Carmelo Anthony, same kind of deal. And maybe it's because of the CBAs being the way that they were back then compared to now, but there was really no one-for-one major star swaps that I can remember in recent NBA history and beyond. But now, because of basically you're limited as a team to have one of these big contracts, maybe two on your roster at a time and no more, you have to make this swap this way. There's really, I think these trades that we're talking about are now kind of out the window, unfortunately. You're not going to see, well, maybe fortunately for teams like the Portland Trailblazers, frankly, going forward, you're not going to see teams trading a bag of chips and a couple of draft picks for a superstar with a $40 million plus salary because the new CBA just won't allow that. You've got to get under a certain apron to make certain moves now. And obviously these two teams, I think they're in the same apron in the NBA right now. They've got to swap across straight ahead. And that means trading big contract for big contract. No better way to do that than trade star for star. I wonder if this is maybe the dawn of a new trading era in the NBA.
I mean, it could be. You know, we live in a day where we have a lot of unhappy superstars in a lot of places. Like every year around trade deadline, we start hearing about all these rumblings and this person and Jimmy Butler and this person. Like every single year, there's somebody that's on the trade block and we'll see if it'll get moved. So we know there are a lot of probably disgruntled guys, a bunch of number twos and number threes that believe they should be a number one somewhere else. Like, there's a bunch of those in the NBA. So it's I don't think we're done, but this is definitely the biggest, you know, domino to fall that we're gonna have during the trade deadline.
Yeah, as far as big trades, like I was telling you during the break, I definitely remember where I was when the Paul George Clippers trade went down.
Yeah.
That was big. But also, like, when we look at this trade compared to other big name player trades, Paul George, Rudy Gobert, I mean, some of the bigger impact players, there's one on my mind that I'm forgetting right now, but involving 3, 4, 5 first round picks in this, like how much were the Mavericks just absolutely done with Luka to the point where not only are they trading him, but trading him for essentially just Anthony Davis?
We got to stop saying just Anthony Davis.
Coming off of NBA Finals appearance.
I'm sorry. What is Max Christie doing this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's something different. But again, you talk about Anthony Davis like he's not the best player on this team. Again,
he's not Luka, though.
Here are the numbers for Anthony Davis right now as a Laker who is like in sixth place.
Let me guess. 26, 12, and 5.
That's actually very close. He led the team in points, 25.7, led the team in rebounds, 11.9, led the team in steals, 1.3, led the team in blocks, 2.1. He leads the team in every statistical category except assists, which LeBron does. So I understand, like, he's not LeBron. We get it. He doesn't have the skill set of Luka. But Anthony Davis, when he's on point, that Lakers team was almost unbeatable. When he's on point and he was able to do stuff, when he's blocking shots, when he's aggressive, when he's playing at the rim and not shooting threes a bunch of time. Oh, and throw in the fact that he can also pull up and shoot threes. Like, he changes things. He's a real stretch four. Or stretch
but then
five,
he just fell on the ground and he's grabbing his ankle. And, there's 4 to 6 weeks. Anthony Davis out.
No, yeah, that's when you play. And that's a big reason I don't think he wanted to play center, because he was hurt all the time, getting beat up all the time doing in that position. Like, he wasn't hurt like this all the time in New Orleans, was he? No, he wasn't. Because he didn't have to play center and get beat up all on and pushed around by everybody every single night. So,
well, he doesn't even play center now.
He doesn't play center now, which is why he hasn't been as hurt. He got hurt recently, but
Dallas thinks that they can win with Anthony Davis instead of Luka Doncic, essentially.
Because you still have Kyrie over there. That let's not act like Kyrie can't get you 28 a night.
I saw a post last night. It was like a picture of Kyrie and Anthony Davis, and it's like, who's going to stop this duo?
And let's think about this.
Someone was like arthritis.
Defensively, like if this Dallas team is healthy, Anthony Davis and Gafford changing shots and blocking shots at the rim.
Derek Lively, too.
Derek Lively, yeah. All of a sudden, like defensively, that team looks way different, especially some of those dogs they do have already on the perimeter.
Yeah, you gotta spread
like
the floor,
this
though.
Dallas team, with coached by Jason Kidd.
And Luka Doncic on the team? Oh, wait, no.
Who do they have on the perimeter now?
I would push back a little bit on that. Everybody's talking so much about Dallas. Like, the Lakers got to make this work all of a sudden with two dudes that play exactly the same. Luka and LeBron, like, I remember when Luka came in the league, everybody was like, oh, he's got LeBron-like tendencies. The only difference is LeBron is obviously more athletic, but they do the same stuff. Luka shoots better, but they need the ball in their hands to be successful. We've already seen LeBron playing with other dudes that need the ball in their hands to be successful. Doesn't always work.
God, those refs are going to be getting worked
Doesn't
by LeBron
always
and Luka.
Work. Yeah, oh my gosh, they're going to hear it every night, every time down the floor.
Pitchers in the NBA other than Chris Paul, man.
So I think, honestly, as far as trying to make something work, I think Dallas has a better chance of making it work sooner than the Lakers do, because they still got to figure out, how do we work this LeBron and Luka thing?
Well, I know that we're finally going to see Bronny unleashed. You know, now that Luke is on the team.
Oh, yeah, he'll stop going 1 for 6
now. We're
going
to finally see Bronny, his true potential now that they have Luka Doncic. Thank God.
I hate LA
fans. We don't talk about any other guy from that goes to the G League to the league ever. There's a bunch of dudes that are in the G League that end up playing in the NBA. Like,
yeah, none of them get MVP chances.
Now watch your mouth with that 1 for 6 crap. He went 1 for 1 last night.
Yeah, we do that a lot to Bronny. We gotta look at ourselves, because we're picking on a 20-year-old kid for trying to play in the NBA. Come on, man, for real.
He probably shouldn't be in the NBA.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. There's a lot of dudes that probably shouldn't be in the NBA, but there they are.
That is also true.
He's one of them.
Yeah, there they are. We're not talking about those guys, though.
We are. We talk about those Blazers players pretty frequently, I think, here on the station.
No, because we're not going to spend a whole segment doing that. But LeBron, Bronny knows. Bronny knows he shouldn't be in the league, too. Trust me. I bet if you asked him. Behind closed doors, nobody, off the record.
He'd be like, yeah, I know. Answer honestly. Here's $10 million. The truth serum's in you. Like, what? Yeah, come on. Let us know.
Sounds like hate to me, fellas, but it's I digress.
No, sometimes the truth hurts, no, Rashad.
Sounds like hate, though. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not like I think I could be in the NBA and in his place, Rashad. Man, holy ass.
If he was anybody else's son, nobody would care. But the fact that he's LeBron's, that's the problem. You know how many sons play in the NBA? They probably shouldn't
None. Like, huh? What are you talking about? Sons,
like current like, sons?
Yes.
None.
Like
former players like Max Christie, of course.
Exactly.
If you're Jeremy Grant is Harvey Grant's kid, of course, but
of course,
they have talent.
I disagree.
Full stop.
I disagree.
I disagree. They don't have talent.
No, no, I'm saying like not all those dudes have talent. So I digress.
God, look at this. Delta to Brawny debate, of course. That's what the NBA wanted. Let's take a break. Let's go to the Dallas side of things because what the hell? What are we doing? just does not make sense at all. Get to that next here. Football Sunday, also known as What the Hell is Happening in the NBA Sunday. Next on the Fan. But first, Schultzy with a Sports Center update. Also, look out on the horizon here. Some news concerning Mark Cuban and his marital status. Because he said in 2020, if I had to choose between my wife and keeping Luca, catch me at my lawyer's office preparing for a divorce. So I guess Mark Cuban and his wife are going to be ending their relationship soon because they traded Luka Doncic.
What a crappy day for Cubes if that's how it's going down, man.
Cubes.
rough day for Dallas. Rough couple weeks. I mean, you make, quite frankly, the worst hire in your NFL team's history with Brian Schottenheimer, and now you're losing your best player in your team's NBA franchise since Dirk left. And yeah, this is a head scratcher when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks, man. If you were the Dallas Mavericks and you put this out a few weeks ago, like, hey, we're looking to trade Luka, you are getting multiple offers. You're getting teams that are like, dude, we will give you 3, 4, 5, 6 first round pick. What do you want? We will definitely take
them. They would
off your
call
hands.
The NBA office and ask if they could keep going until like 2040 with the every other draft pick year offer. It would be insane.
So the fact that the Mavericks are getting back, again, Anthony Davis, great player, went healthy. Max Christie and a singular first-round draft pick from the Lakers. What the hell are they doing? Like, that is just, you know, Nico Harris and Tiger Zone, you know, local legend running the Mavericks front office now as far as these trades and transactions go. Buddy, what are we doing here?
There's more to the story, guys.
Generational talent, 25 years old, in his prime, just led his team to the NBA Finals.
There's more to this story. There is no way that you let a guy go who just got you to the final. Like, they do it with coaches all the time, right? Sometimes they're not just sold on a coach. Coach get all the way to the finals, miss the playoffs the next year, or get a low seed, and then the next year they're fired. Like, that's how it works for coaches sometimes. So we see it with them all the time. We very seldom, never see it with star players almost. You know, like they'll request a trade after a little bit, but once they start requesting the trade and we know about it, it's like, what's happening in Portland? We thought Dame was happy. Right? The whole time. And then he requests a trade. It's like, uh-oh, what's going on there? This caught everybody off guard. I think there was something going on behind the scenes at Dallas, and they've done a great job of keeping it in-house, which is what you're supposed to do. And this trade happens because, again, you don't get traded if you're not happy. That's not really how it happens, or unless you're looking to move a different direction with the team. And that usually happens when a player is much older. They don't want to sign a smaller contract. They want to be okay, cool. That's when that kind of goes in. That's what happened with Shaq. Shaq wanted more money. They were like, bro, you're 34. We can't give you more money right now. We're going to give it to Kobe. We'll trade you so you can get, you know, something for it. Cool. Let's do that. We haven't heard anything about Luka and Dallas having any issues. We haven't heard anything about him and Nico having any issues, him and Cubes having any issues. But I'm sure we're going to hear a whole lot more over the next couple days about why this is happening. Because we know the Lakers want to kind of move on from Anthony Davis because I think they're kind of tired of him not being as available all the time. So we kind of knew that was happening. LeBron, something was stirring in his head to say, let's kind of move forward and get rid of AD at least a little bit and get something for him. And they definitely got something.
This is from Tim McMahon of ESPN, a quote that he shared from Mavericks GM Nico Harrison. Told ESPN that I believe that defense wins championships. I believe that getting an all defensive center and an all NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance. We're built to win now and in the future. Well, I mean, there's, you know, insight to his feelings, and we all know as far as Luka, his one of his deficiency is playing defense. That is one of his major flaws, but I think it's one of those where what you see him do offensively, it's the catch 22. Like, would you rather have that offense with that defense? And a lot of people would be like, a lot of teams, a lot of franchises would be like, yeah, I'll take that offense. If that's the defense I'm getting, I'll live with it if that's the type of player and offense I'm getting out of it.
And I think that was the difference, because we saw the defense in the finals, and Luka was getting cooked by anybody who guarded, and anybody he guarded was having great games against Luka. And that's typically how it goes. He has to outscore you. His plus minus is always going to be, you know, probably what, 10 or something like that, because while he's going to put up 40, he's going to put up something like that. The person he's guarding is more than likely going to have a good game too, because defensively he is a liability. Absolutely. And now if you're the Lakers, you just lost your defensive anchor that's stopping everything at the rim or changing shots at the rim. All of a sudden that's gone for
when he's healthy.
Exactly. All of a sudden that's gone for, you know, more offense, which I don't really think is the Lakers' issue except outside of shooting, but I don't know. I feel like this is a better move in the long run, or at least right now, competing for a championship for the Lakers, for the Mavericks, even though the odds have gone up tremendously for the Lakers winning the championship now that Luka is there. If you look at all the betting sites and stuff like that, like, they've gone up a whole bunch because you got a Luka Doncic.
I'll have to look, but I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere where it was like, oh, their championship odds went up to 6%.
No, well, I mean, that's still better. You're telling me there's a chance, you know, right? That's pretty much where we are. So I'm looking at this Dallas team, and I'm looking at what they have down low. And now you already had two scary shot blockers and shot changers down low, and now you add Anthony Davis to that mix. And now you kind of let Kyrie Irving go back to just, you know, scoring the ball the way he's able to do. Hopefully, if he can find that mojo again before the, like he was scoring before the finals, and he got to the finals and went quiet, you know, so hopefully it kind of rejuvenates him to be that guy. So we'll see. You know, I think Dallas has been wanting to play fast, and when you have Luka as your point guard, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, much more half-court offense kind of player.
Jason Kidd, I guess, over the summer before last season started, called Luka and was like, is there a way we can play faster? Like, I want to run. You know, everybody else in the league is running, and we're waiting for you to get down the floor. That's a problem.
Looking at the Lakers, I mean, kind of looking at the landscape of the league right now, the Los Angeles Lakers are 28-19, good for fifth in the Western Conference at this moment in time. Looking at their roster, I mean, where is your down low, your post help now? Because, yeah, I mean, you're going to run Jackson Hayes out there
for
20, 25 minutes. You're just going to go small ball more often. I mean, are you going to have...
they're going to go get Yusuf Nurkic from Phoenix. What they're going to do next.
I know. I mean, hell, that could be the thing, is that the Lakers might try and make one more acquisition, one more trade to help shore up their down low, their post help. I mean, I don't know how much the Yusuf Nurkic is going to help with that. But again, there might be someone out there. There might be other trades that are looming that they try and add some post defense, because Rashad, you're right. You lose Anthony Davis, that is gone. I mean, he is one of the best defensive players in the league. And I'm looking at the roster. Who the hell what are you going to do down there?
I don't know. That's a tough thing, because you don't have much height. Like you said, Jackson Hayes is your biggest kind of threat right there. And then you got to trade Jamison and Dorian Finney-Smith.
And he's like 6'8".
Yeah, and so unless you're going to,
unless
you're going to be constantly just using those guys for fouls and just running them in and running them out, like, you can always play center by committee,
Yeah, aren't they still starting Rui Hachimura at the four, who's also like 6'9"?
And exactly. So like now you might have to move Rui to the bench, and you're going to have to – what are you going to do with Austin Reeves? Are you going to move him to your two? But you got this Dalton Knecht, who is actually a, you know, a pretty good shooter for you. Like, you got some things to figure out if you're if you're the Lakers right now. But I don't know. I think these are good problems, though. I could be tripping, but I think whenever you're adding a Luka Doncic to your team, that's a good problem to have for now until we can figure it out.
And as far as the Dallas Mavericks go, their starting lineup, or right now where they sit in the playoffs in the standings, they are currently the 8th seed at 26-23. But what their starting lineup would look like, I mean, you'd have Kyrie, obviously, as your starting point guard. Klay, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, and Daniel Gafford.
That's a squad, bro.
I mean,
you say that out loud? Like, that's a squad.
I mean, it is an NBA team with a starting five, but I don't know if I'm going as far as saying, like, oh, man, that's competing for a championship.
You got two dudes. You got two dudes that can average, you know, well above 20, and we know that already. Then you got a guy who went on as a lethal sharpshooter in Klay Thompson. That's the way you build
all right,
a team.
But Klay Thompson is not.
He's not Klay. He's not that guy. He's not Klay Thompson. But he's not asked to be anymore. But yeah. He doesn't have to be anymore. Like,
well,
he doesn't have
he's
to be.
Kind of. That's what teams want him to be.
He doesn't have to be the second best player on
if he's
the
not,
team anymore.
But if he's not shooting and he's not making threes, like what good is he at this point?
He can still make shots. He's not making them now. Like, everybody goes through stretches. And again, he's not supposed to be the number two.
He turned the ball over the other night, I think with like 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they sat him for the rest of the game. I mean, yeah. I know it's a rotation change time in the NBA, but I think he usually plays at the end of games for his shooting ability. So he is just about out of the league. It's close.
No, he's just about on the bench. He's at that one of those guys. He still can play, but he's going to play limited minutes off the bench here in a few minutes, in a few years. And let's think. Klay is in his what? How many years is this?
13, 14.
Yeah, he's like 35, 36.
That's a lot of NBA years, and he won for a lot of those years. So he can still come off the bench. There are certain guys, if you can shoot in the NBA, you can play forever, because as long as we can put you in the game, knock down a big three for us, like, that's all they really need him
for.
See
Jamal Crawford.
And even still, when he came to Dallas, he knew he wasn't going to be the second. There was Luka and Kyrie already there. He knew he wasn't going to be the second best player on the team. He knew he was slated to be the third, fourth best player on that squad. And with the emergence of Gafford and with the emergence of PJ Washington, he was probably going to be the fifth best starter. And he knew that. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think Klay can still do that thing. But again, if he's the fifth best starter of those guys you just mentioned, like, that's still a pretty good-ass team.
This is his 12th year in the league.
That's a lot of years in NBA. And let's think about this. 12th year, but plays deep into the playoffs for 8 of those?
Yeah, so you're adding on a top of an 82-game season another close to 20, 30 games sometimes, depending on what the lengths of those series were. So,
yeah, I think Klay is a grizzled vet at this point, and I don't think that's a bad thing to have as your fifth. If he's your fifth worst player in your starting lineup, yeah, that's a squat.
Let's take a break. Keep going with this because, again, it is such a huge trade. It's hard to just
talk about this. I'm glad we got to do it first. There's very few things that happen in sports that happen on like a Saturday, unless it's like a fight or something like that. So this is awesome.
You could do like 8 straight hours of this like whole topic. I'm pretty sure we could still, even after that, still feel like we haven't talked it out.
It's wild. Yeah. Wild. Get to the one question that I have with this trade concerning the Dallas Mavericks and, again, the team that they traded it to, the Lakers. And my big question is, why? Why them? We'll get to that next year, Football Sunday, also known as What the Hell is Happening in the NBA Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Of all teams to trade Luka Doncic to,
it just had to be the Evil Empire, didn't it?
Why the LA Lakers? Is there some...
Well, were they going to flip him to the Magic?
Yes!
That would have been better. I'd have been
send him to Charlotte.
The Magic got a man. Look at what they're doing out there in Utah. Like, yeah, yes, right. Go ahead, Luka.
Yeah,
like,
why the Lakers? Yeah. Why, like, do we...
I think this is just the default NBA, this is just the default NBA team to trade people to. Like, they get all the names.
I mean,
can we get a name,
the Celtics don't get the names like that.
Can we get a Chris Paul, David Stern intervention in this trade?
You want
and
that
veto
to,
it?
To happen
we,
again?
Yeah, can we have that happen
that
here,
would be
please?
Great. That was David Stern at his best, and he stopped that. To the Lakers. He was the only one.
If
that
Adam
like, yeah,
Silver
to
wants
happen.
To do himself some favors right now, because he is not, he has fell out of favor with a lot of NBA
yes,
fans.
He
needs to step in and veto this.
Adam Silver understands what I think most sports fans and most really owners and stuff understand, is that unfortunately we can love them, we can hate them, they're gonna get views. That's just who the Lakers are.
Yeah. Oh, I
and
saw
people
I,
are always oh, going yeah. to watch. People love them or hate them. People are always going to watch the Cowboys.
Well,
it's just one of those things. Like, then they love them, hate them. The Yankees are always going to be on TV.
There was
it's just those are just the franchises that are always going to get pulled. We're not always going to care about watching Boston. I'll be real; they're one of the big ones. But we don't freaking care about Boston a lot of the time.
Like throwing the freaking on there,
yeah,
like a Boston accent.
We don't care. You know what I mean? But the Lakers, the Yankees, they're going to get eyeballs every single time, and I think Adam Silver knows that, and that's why he keeps allowing these trades to the Lakers
again, you know? But it's not Adam Silver making these trades. There's other teams.
No, I'm saying why that won't ever get vetoed. Like, he understands, like, yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
and I know that's not going to happen, but again, I'm just like, why is there not Joe, how are these teams just like, oh, the Los Angeles Lakers, who seemingly get any superstar, any free agent, the Lakers are always one of the top teams on the list, because who doesn't want to go play for the Lakers in LA? Why help them?
You just said it. I'm gonna let you go, Jordan, but you just said go play for the Lakers in LA.
Play for the Clippers.
Beaches and bridges.
Yeah, right.
It's different. Like, you know, the LA is, if you've been there, I don't know, some people love LA, some people hate it. I love it. It's one in place. Mm-hmm. It's 75 degrees every single day.
Yeah, when it's not Venice on fire, it's beautiful.
Venice Beach, Santa Monica, exactly. When it's not on fire, it's an amazing space, and hopefully all those people.
I think that applies to, I think, anywhere in the world. If it's not on fire,
yeah, but
it's beautiful.
Not really.
Where else has recently been on fire? Okay, come on.
Have you been to Galveston? You know,
yeah, that's
have you
true
been
too.
To certain places that, you know, it's
Galveston on fire, though. Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Improvement.
Glistening.
Improvement, you know, in most cases. But when it's that place, you know, that's why a lot of people have been going to the Clippers lately. Like, it's still L.A. Like, it's still Randy's Donuts. It's still Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. It's
still Tito's Tacos.
It's
baby.
Still all those things. Like, that's where people, it's culture. And if you, unfortunately, that culture doesn't exist all the time in Milwaukee, in Portland, in Sacramento, and, you know, all these other places.
Well, like, my theory for Portland is that in the NBA season, it is wet and cold and rainy in Portland.
But nobody wants to come here.
But you're traveling most of the time,
yeah,
so it doesn't matter.
That's
why
sucks.
You should come to Portland.
And guess what?
You get to spend your off season in Portland, which is the summertime. That's the best
true.
Time.
Remember
to be
when the NBA was talking
why
about?
Why wouldn't you want to come to Portland?
Remember when the NBA was talking about potentially changing the season to start around Christmas time
yeah.
and then going through there? I think more people would have come to play in Portland, because you got basketball in June and July. All of a sudden, it's like, oh shoot! Like,
wouldn't
Portland's
worked.
Actually kind of nice.
Competing
like,
with
I
the
kinda
NFL.
Don't. No, you're competing with the NFL. I mean, well, at least in June. Like,
they literally
July,
were like,
really.
We can't even compete with the preseason of the NFL. We're not going to be able to do this.
No, I mean, you're competing with the NFL for a month, you know, at that point. If the NBA started their season in December, right around Christmas time, they're competing with the NFL until February 9th or whenever the Super Bowl is, and then the season's over, and then it's all NBA, and then baseball starts. And so then they'll be competing with baseball, but who cares? Because we don't have a baseball team here. So.
That's true. Hey, Joe, to
yet.
Your point.
It's not happening.
MLB to
yet.
PDX. To your point, Joe,
go to
about.
A Pickles game, bro.
We've been in their inbox for years.
About the Lakers, like, and the why. it's almost kind of funny. Oh, my God. I kind of forgot what I was going to say. You might have to come back to me. Yeah, come back to me. It's okay.
I mean, I can just be angry about this even more, because it's just, it just.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Sorry, the shock factor. My apologies with the why. Did you see? This is the reason that this is the most historical trade in NBA history right here. It happened, thankfully, with about 2 minutes to go in the Portland Phoenix game last night. So we got a live reaction of NBA players, yeah. like, yeah, stars in the NBA, scrubs in the NBA, figuring out that Luka Doncic was just flipped to the Los Angeles Lakers. And that, when has that ever happened in NBA history
Kevin
before?
Durant's face when he looked at the phone initially, yeah, like end of the bench, he's taking off his tape and stuff like that, looks at the phone, kind of like, no, are you serious? Like, this really happened? And I can imagine, like, people across the league looking at the phone, finishing the game, like, man, whew, what a hard game. Ah, man, hopefully, you know, tomorrow's going to be easier. Then look at their phones like, bro, is this a joke? Everybody's passing the messages. You're getting text messages from all. How many people did you text almost immediately, like, WTF? What is happening right now? Like, I got at least 15 texts like, bro, are you seeing this? Did you see this? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then just as that happened, I think I want to say, I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was Calabro or whoever that was like, and the major trade in the NBA. And I was like, oh, no, I'm watching the game and it happened. It's like, geez, Louise, here we go.
I texted my son and he's got he's got a block on his phone. So after like 9 o'clock, he can't see any text. He can't get anything. So, and then he calls me around 10 o'clock to, you know, say goodnight and all that. And I'm like, oh, you didn't see my text. He's like, no. And I'm like, well, I hope you're sitting down because get ready for this one. And I explained to him the trade. And he's like, well, okay, well, that's funny because, you know, Dallas would never trade Luka Doncic. I'm like, no, buddy, I'm telling you right now, that is the trade that went down, that Luka is being traded to the Lakers. And his reaction is like, wait. What?
Yeah,
so that's like, dude. Yes.
Same to my stepson. He was upstairs last night.
I think
night.
That was everybody's reaction. What? Yeah.
I have to tell him, like, hey, man, did you see this one? And he was like, what? And I was like, man, Luka just got traded to the Lakers. What? And starts looking, texting his friends, like, super crazy, and him in that, you know, purple and gold. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it yet. Again, I think I think the Lakers have more to figure out right now than the Mavericks do. At this point, you know, you got to figure out how you use Luka and LeBron on the floor together. And that's going to be a J.J. Redick thing, you know. And already I think J.J. Redick needs a little more respect based on how well he's coached, especially over these last, you know, 10, 15 games for the Lakers. You know, they've been really, really good. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but he's actually – there's a clip where they show they show JJ kind of drawing up a play, and I was like, that's something the Lakers haven't had in a long time. Somebody that could say, look, this is what you do. You come off the screen, you like hedge this way. Like, that's something that Darvin Ham last year drew up a play in halftime, and it just said, no easy shots. Word? And it showed it to everybody, like, this is what we're doing. We're giving them too much easy stuff. I was like, that's not coaching. I can say that. Any of us can say that from the bench. I need to know what play we're going to run to get us out of this jam late in the game or after a timeout or whatever the case is. And that's the one thing the Lakers have, because J.J. Redick has a great Duke mind. And so, and he played for Coach K, and he's been really one of those guys is like a coach on the floor for a long time. So I think this is his element right here.
Here's just some quotes from this article I'm reading on ESPN. An assistant coach in the NBA. What the F is happening? An agent. I feel like I'm dreaming. And then an executive. The confusion around the league is quite high. I want to take this into hour number two because I want to also tie this into our team here locally. And we're going to get to what they've been doing lately. But again, this is one of those monumental days in NBA history as far as trades go.
Yes, it is.
As far as transactions and sports, really, because again, just the shock factor, surprise factor of this happening. Nobody saw it coming. And thank God it happened during Pro Bowl week. Mm-hmm. We get to hour number two here during Football Sunday. But today is known as What the Hell is Happening in the NBA Sunday. We get to that next here. Hour number two. Right here, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Dude.
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 Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games.
What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey.
Want to do an interview with me? No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two of Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Damn, that's loud.
Me or
no? I'm not, just my headphones. Whoa!
Sorry. I'll turn it down for you.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Jeez,
jeez, Louise,
my bad.
Bring it down.
You could also be listening on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, or Twitch for the kids. Hour number one going up here shortly. You can catch that wherever you get your podcasts. Rashad asked if we're going to be expecting any of that that white stuff falling to the ground here in the next couple days.
Oh, okay.
Some people refer to it as snoo.
About to say, I thought you were going somewhere totally different with that.
I
cocaine? Dandruff?
Yeah, I would hope not.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, definitely.
I think
snow.
It was a cocaine joke.
Yeah. No,
that's where we're going.
Nope. I don't joke about that. I don't joke about
biz, yeah?
Yes, I don't joke about drugs, Rashad.
That's good for you.
That's not funny.
Hugs, not drugs.
It's not funny. Serious problem in our society.
It is.
But if Mexican Coke has cocaine in it, then I'm all right.
I'm
with
on
that.
Board.
Yes. Sign me
I'll take
up.
Two.
I love the snow. I hope it snows.
I hate the snow.
I feel like I am the only person above the age of 30 that actually loves the snow
you
and
are.
Wants it
well,
to snow. I actively root for snow.
My wife loves the snow.
Big something snow
about,
guy over
something
here.
About getting yeah, snowed yeah. in that she loves. I'm like, that sounds awful.
I love lady. It.
That sounds terrible.
I love it.
Just stuck and can't drive and got to put on chains and got to do like, that sounds terrible.
Well, there's something about the serenity of snow. Like when you walk outside snow, it like insulates or what is it? It dampens sound. Like it can absorb sound. And so when you go outside, it just seems so silent when there's snow out. And when you get really big flakes falling to the ground and it's just that perfect sense of quiet, there's nothing better. And then I don't have to go to work.
You know,
I can just work from home for like 3-4 days.
You know what's better than summer? Or what's better than snow? Summer and the river.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And all those things. Snow sucks. Like,
snow's
it makes
awesome.
You immobile. You got to be around people all
make a nice
day.
Soup.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a soup guy. You know what I do love in the snow? Like a nice like pot roast or something like that.
Yeah.
Like those always go.
You ever
you know,
had Mississippi pot roast?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolute banger.
Ranch.
Ranch. What
some,
is it?
Some
au jus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Butter and pepperoncinis.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Throw that over some mashed taters.
Whomever invented the crock pot, God bless you. Just because so many delicious things can be made in you. And I don't even have to. I don't have to do anything. Put it all in there, set it, and forget it. Walk away. You know, you're not really supposed to take the lid off of crock pots a whole lot. You're supposed to just let them do their thing.
Let it stew.
Man, please. Whether you want chili, a nice stew or soup or something like that, a roast. You know, you can even do noodles and stuff in there. Like, hey, man, I'm a big fan of the crock pot.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks and Lakers, they were cooking something in the crock pot. And that was a big-ass trade. But this, to tie it back locally here, this does kind of make me somewhat irked that Blazers, Portland, you can do stuff like this. You know that? Over all the years that they've, fans have wanted them to make a big move, especially when Damian Lillard was here, to make a big trade, to get another star to play with Damian Lillard, and it never happened. This is the kind of stuff that can happen if you just try, if you just make some calls, if you just wonder. Like, hey, maybe Luka Doncic is available. Hey, maybe one of the top five players in the league is available. Well, now, granted, you do have to, you know, it's not a matter of like, who's the best players in the NBA? And let's just start calling on them. The Luka Dallas situation is a little different. The relationship, how his game, how it fits with his team and other teams. Like, again, every situation is different. But if the, sure enough, the Lakers, of course they can pull this off. Of course they can get Luka Doncic with only sending back Anthony Davis and one first round pick. And this is where I just look at the Blazers and I'm like, hey, you know, Joe, you know, guys, things like this, they can happen.
Yeah. We also live in a day where we've seen guys get traded here and say, I'm not staying here. Like, I'm not going. I'm
again,
sorry.
The offseason is in the summer. You don't
one,
have to be
it's one of
here.
Things, but again, that's when you're fleecing your best player for somebody that you know. That's here's the messed up part about it, guys. We live in Portland. We just said this. Like, and I don't want to keep knocking on my city because I love it here. I was raised here. Went to high school here. Was married here. Like, this is where I'm from, right? So I don't want to keep hating on my city, but we have to be honest about certain things. Like, Dallas is a much cooler city than Portland is. No, it is.
Better
it
barbecue,
is.
But
it is. It's
a, it you ever is. Had Matt's barbecue?
I've had Matt's barbecue.
Pretty solid.
I love it. You, thanks to you. Actually, you're the one that put me on to Matt's barbecue because I had no idea
pretty solid
where it
spot.
Was until you let me know. One of the best barbecue places around. Now, imagine that being everywhere when you're in Dallas, when you're somewhere else.
No wonder they're so fat.
Have you ever been to Texas at all, Jordan?
Through it. Not stayed.
My dream years ago was to go catch a Cowboys game, but that dream is slowly diminishing as the years go by.
Bro, go to Houston. Go to Dallas. Go to Austin. Those are
what about
three
Corpus
of the,
Christi.
I mean, that could be a good one too. Never been there, but those other places I have been, and the culture and everything that you get from those places is just different. So, I mean, I would love to be able to say, yeah, let's trade our player here or trade somebody here and get him here in Portland. But most people that come to Portland don't necessarily stay. I think when we got Malcolm Brogdon and he said, I'm not going to ask for B Wade.
When
he got here and he stayed for a year, it was like, okay, cool. But we got Drew Holiday. Nah, not staying here. Don't want to be here even a little bit. I don't want to try to help young dudes win. I don't want to do anything. I think that's all that plays. If this were the 2000 team and you had all those personalities and players here, I think people will be more inclined to say, okay, Portland sounds cool. Like I could play there, play with Sheed and play with Bonzi and play with all. Okay. That sounds like it's okay. But now, no, nobody wants to make that trip. It's cold. Every time you come here, if you've never been to the Northwest, it's cold, it's wet, and that's all you know. And so, like, if I'm a player and I'm Anthony Davis or I'm a big-name player and I get a chance to get traded for Dame to Portland, I'm not going there.
All right, so then let's sell the franchise and just let's stop playing basketball.
Not until you're good.
Let's stop being an NBA
not
franchise.
Not until you're good. If you're good, then that's different.
No, different.
No, seriously, people will overlook certain things. But we even saw with Dame when the Blazers were a three seed.
He couldn't get one.
Still couldn't get one. So it still kind of matters. But if you're great, like undeniably great, people will go to Cleveland to play with LeBron. People will go to these places that aren't necessarily
cool. No, it's because
cool.
Cleveland is way closer to the epicenter of this country, which is New York and the East Coast, unfortunately. It's
Cleveland's
the fact,
trash.
Well, and you go look at, speaking of the epicenter
no
of this country,
King
New York.
From Cleveland.
Yeah, no offense, but
it is.
Compared to Portland,
your river catches on fire.
I'm pretty sure the per capita rain measurements are way higher in New York, but we're talking like 9 to 12 inches per year than they are Oregon. It rains way more
rats
there
the size of dogs
than it does here.
Nasty.
But yet nobody cares when it comes to New York. But Portland, oh, well, it just rains a lot there. It is just such a stupid argument that people bring up. They're really, it's because Portland's far away. It's
New
because
York,
they're forgotten about it.
Portland
it's not because
is the size of Staten Island. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's not like New York in its entirety, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Manhattan. Like it's very, very different as far as, yes, it does rain a lot, it snows a lot, they got real elements of weather and everything in New York, but you also have everything else that New York offers. Again, LA might catch on fire tomorrow, but it's still LA at the end of the day, and that's just kind of one of those things. And so it is very, very different when you look around. You look at the landscape of all these other teams in the NBA. Utah also has the same problem we have. They can't attract big name free agents to come over there. That's just kind of because they're in Utah.
This isn't all, a free agent. I'm talking
free
about
trades. Free agents or trades. I'm saying either way, like guys get to those teams like, yeah, I don't want to stay here.
That is, you can't predict that until you actually make it happen. Again,
you can't. You're
talking
right.
about in the Dame context, like if you're telling me that the Blazers make a move for another top tier NBA all-star-esque player that makes the Blazers better, where they're not only a three seed, but actually winning their first round and not getting swept by the Pelicans. They're actually winning against the Denver Nuggets instead of losing in six because Dame has to put up 55 points and you have players stepping out of bounds and literally giving him nothing. I mean, when you have players that are upper echelon all-stars that also get to play with, why not try to get those players, bring them here, create a winning top team culture in the NBA where it's like, yeah, Portland may suck, but this team, this franchise, us winning like this, us being one of the best teams in the league, yeah, I'm down with this, and I'm gonna make my life and my career here because, oh, once I got to Portland, actually, it's not that bad. It doesn't suck. And actually, I like winning here with a top player like Damian Lillard. Again, I'm just saying that you can These moves can be made.
They can
Nobody
be made.
Thought that Luka was available.
They can be made. But again, I'm not even saying Portland hasn't tried.
I don't think they did with Dame.
There have been names. Like, we almost had Paul George at a point, but remember, I think it was Pritchard that ex-nayed that. You know, so it's not like Portland hasn't tried to make
not deals. Recently.
We were even talking about Jeremy Grant was been the one that's been on the trade block and been the one that's like, man, we got to figure out what if the Blazers are going to move Jeremy Grant. So they've been in conversations. I just don't know how many people want a lot of the assets that we have.
Well, to keep it on this Blazers train, because they're winning games right now, and sure enough, I want to talk about this next. The Blazers, are they not only bad at being good, they're bad at being bad. Want to get to that next year on Sports Sunday, Football Sunday, but what is known today as what the hell's going on in the NBA Sunday. We get to that next year on 1080 The Fan. One of the hottest teams in the NBA is your Portland Trailblazers, winners of seven of their last eight, including a win over the Phoenix Suns. I believe the final score 127-108. And that sound you're hearing is more ping pong balls disappearing into the horizon. As I said, going into the break, the Blazers not only bad at being good, bad at being bad. Rashad and I are on two definitely opposite sides of this because classic Blazers, man, selling hope, selling people in this city that, hey, these young guys, hey, these this collection of team right now look pretty good, looking pretty interesting. You might want to come back. You know, try and get yourself some six McNuggets if they score 100 points. Maybe you want to meet Blaze and that big dumb Sasquatch that we for some reason introduced as a mascot. Maybe, come on, good times, you know. Maybe tickets will go from $1 to $5.
I feel like you're mocking me right now. I don't like it.
I am mocking classic Blazers fan that, again, they see 7 of 8 wins in a season that is going to go nowhere.
Against really bad teams, by the way.
It's not true.
Mostly.
Of the wins? Keep going on.
Yeah, the wins, yeah. All from
Bulls,
the East,
Heat,
except the Pelicans.
Magic, Orlando. Hornets, Bucks, Magic, Suns.
There we go. The Suns. Thank you. That's the one
Magic
team
twice.
On there that's halfway
decent. So of
decent.
The 7 wins, the Magic twice. Playoff team with an all-star, let's just be real, you know, and Paolo Banchero. So beat them twice, beat them pretty, you know, pretty handily. You beat the hell out of Phoenix last night, and then you beat the hell out of Milwaukee, which I was at that game, which Dame played a full 38 minutes. So yeah, this team all of a sudden defensively has figured it out. At least for now.
NBA championship on the way, baby.
I mean, I'm not saying NBA championship, but I think improvement and hard work and like grit, isn't that what we've been asking for? And over the last few games, seven games, eight games, like
not this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, we keep hoping that we're gonna get this number one pick, and this ghost of Greg Oden and that number one pick, that's never gonna happen again. I'm sorry.
Well, listen,
how much longer do we have to suck to get a potential number one pick? Anything outside of number one and Cooper Flagg is a failure at this point. Name the top three players in college basketball right now.
In college basketball.
Exactly.
There's Ace Bailey.
They don't lag Bailey, and
they don't roll off the tongue.
The other guy at Rutgers, along with Ace Bailey.
There's a Cincinnati kid. I can't say his name.
It's the Cincinnati kid. It's the guy from Rutgers. It's exactly. We
don't doesn't mean because we don't know them doesn't mean that like.
But
they don't matter.
But let me point out, Rashad, that the Blazers literally are what 8-5 now against the Eastern Conference. They are 12-24 against the Western Conference. They are playing much easier teams in the East. They are just not. Up against the same type of competition in this stretch. And
again,
to say that
again,
these young
the
guys
last,
are
the last
going two, forward because of that, it's a misnomer.
Last two games they've had have been blowouts against a team that is predicted by a lot of people to win an NBA championship and another team that's predicted to at least make the playoffs in Phoenix. And with the superstar Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker on the floor, and they won by 20 points. Like, I understand. I totally understand. But all of a sudden, like, Chauncey's kind of moved some stuff around, moved some people to the bench. At first, we kept looking like, but you got a whole bunch of talent that can't all start. They can't all do the same thing. And it
cool,
seems
so
like,
trade some of them.
And it seems like, I mean, trade some for who? For what? Tell me for what?
Like, anything at
anything,
this point.
And that's like, no. See, that's no.
No,
be
so
more
you
specific.
Can clear the way for Shaden, for Scoot, to get 40 minutes a game. I thought that's what the whole point of this season was.
Hey, maybe that's not what it is for Scoot. Or a Shaden. Maybe that's not what their role in the NBA is going to be. Who knows? Who knows at this point? Either way, I feel like, man, we've got a lot of young talent. I feel like the coaching was a big thing, but over the last few little bit, Chauncey's at least been coaching defense a little bit better. I'll give him that. I'll give this team that. And am I saying they're going to win a championship? No, but what I've been asking for is improvement, is hustle, is heart. And when I go to the game, when I went to the game against Philadelphia, to watch them watch rebounds come right in front of them and nobody go and attack the ball, try to go get it, that's the problem. That's the issue that I don't like. For everybody to just ball watch and watch Ant or Shaden shoot and stuff like that's the stuff that's not fun. You know, so to watch them play as a team over these last little bit, yeah, am I crazy for having hope? Am I crazy for thinking that this team could potentially be better with all of the young talent they have? I guess so. And that's Blazer fan for us over, you know, overall. We're jaded, you know, and I understand. I totally get it. Like, I've gone on so many rants about how much money I've wasted on the Blazers and all these little things. So, yes, all I want to see is effort. I've never seen a championship. We may never see a championship. I'm knocking on wood there. All I want to see is them compete and heart. I don't care if they lose every game. I want to see them compete. And right now, over these last 8 games, these dudes are competing.
Way right out of the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
We were never going to get Cooper Flagg in the first place.
Listen, and jokingly at the beginning of the year, even before the season, you know, because we've been talking about Cooper Flagg even last year as well, is that the luck of this franchise, the luck of this team, of course they're not going to get that pick, right? It's just not going to, like, you don't get the Wemby pick. Even when you do get the first pick, you end up with a Greg Oden. Like, the luck of this franchise is terrible. So there's always been this part of me inside that is just like, well, they're not going to get Cooper Flagg because this team doesn't get anything.
It's a horrible way to run a team, though.
They never have any chance. But I would much rather have the best chance possible at getting a possibly generational talent in Cooper Flagg. The way that he plays, the way that he has played this year at Duke, the way that he was playing in the Olympics practices last year against some of the best NBA players in the league, that is a dude that you want on your team. That is a guy that you want with this collection of young players.
I agree.
The best way to build a team when you are a small market franchise is by getting top overall picks, top three, top four, top five picks in the NBA draft. That's how you build this team.
I agree.
But if you are losing that chance, you are losing the ability to build a great team. And that's what they're doing. Listen, I understand being jaded. It's tough. I love the Portland Trailblazers. They're my team, hometown team. So when they win, you know, it's great. The Portland Trailblazers are winning. But that is not what's going to make this team a great team down the road in the future. This is not going to make them one of the best teams in the NBA. We're not winning anything anytime soon. The only way to win NBA championships is by having the best talent on the floor. And if you are having the opportunity to have top three picks, that's what's going to put you there. And they're losing that chance right now.
And guess who else is thinking the exact same way as the Blazers as far as, we need the best talent. We need to get Cooper Flagg. The Wizards and the Hornets.
And they're doing it correctly.
And no, because they just suck. That's off top. Those teams, none of those teams are better than the Blazers. The Hornets aren't. The Wizards aren't. Toronto's not. Brooklyn's not. The Jazz aren't. The Pelicans aren't. None of those teams.
But what Brooklyn did try and do was trade for some of the best players in the league.
That was LeBron James, and that was LeBron getting rid of D'Lo.
And as a Blazers fan, I would, in a heartbeat, swap LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller for Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharp. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
if you
said
gun to my head.
Yes,
so you're
sure.
So you're saying
outside
these teams
guys
aren't as good, but and then Orlando, Paolo Banchero, Cole Anthony a couple of years ago. Yeah. They actually have pieces that look like they can compete at an all-NBA level as opposed to Portland. It's that secondary piece. It's the piece that, we see Anthony Simons. He's going to be a 10-time All-Star, and then he ends up being CJ McCollum 2.0. That is the Portland Trailblazers life for the last 15 years. He might be slightly better than CJ, but all he does is score, and he can't defend.
Yeah.
So he is a CJ McCollum 2.0. Maybe
how much does LaMelo defend? I mean, if that's the
but LaMelo can have a triple double at any point during a game. Anthony can't.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's definitely not LaMelo. LaMelo's one of them ones. Should be an all-star right now.
And I guess I think I hear what Joe's saying. When you sell to these fans this hope of this four or five, core guys in Avdija and Scoot and Donovan Clingan going forward along with Tumani, and you say, hey, Shaden Sharp, he's the cherry on top. We're going to make this work. No, that's bullsh. Any other team would look at these guys and say, oh, they're good. You know, one of these might be a starter. They're good six, seven, eighth men off the bench. But Portland is always left playing with the scraps of the rest of the NBA and telling their fans, hey, guys, smell the roses. They're as talented as everybody else. And they're not. And we're here again. It's like the third cycle of this in the last 30 years.
That's again, you got to get people to want to come here. And I don't think, even if you're traded here, you don't want to stay. And I think that's the main thing. So we'll get a Josh Hart, who we see is a huge part of what this New York team has been able to do over the last little bit. Love him. Fans love him. Seems like he fits. He just don't want to stay. And I think that's always kind of the main thing. You know what I mean? That's kind of where we are.
Well, no, he got traded. He was shocked.
He was shocked. Like, he just...
I would have stayed.
He would have stayed. But then he got to New York and was like, I think this is okay over here. I think I would
because
much
they're winning
because they've got great talent around. Yes, absolutely. They've got great talent around. They're New York also, so they're able to make those big trades.
It doesn't matter if they're New York. They're winning.
They are
again,
winning. Yes.
If a team, regardless of what market, is a top team in the league, I don't care.
They got the talent to get other guys. They got the talent on that squad to get other dudes. When you have what's my man's name? Forgive me. He went to Minnesota this past year. Randall.
Julius Randall. Yeah, that drop off.
Who is a talent? Yeah, I can negotiate getting Cat here. When you have that talent like that, yeah, you can do that. When you're New York, yes, I can lure a Jalen Brunson away from Dallas, who is just in the playoff. Like, you can do that. You can't do that if you're Portland. It's just one of them things. It's unfortunate, but so yes, like who likes you? Right now, these young guys that we got, they're here trying to improve. Ride it. If it don't work, there's nothing. We're gonna end up in the lottery anyway. So I'm like, what is it? What does it hurt?
So we're give yourself the best
end up
chance
in the lottery anyway.
Give yourself the best chance of doing that and get rid of the guys that...
But hell, if they show me they can compete, I'm with it.
I could not disagree with you more. This is not... What is competing get you? A ribbon? A good job? A pat on the back? A cookie?
What did we get with Damian Lillard? Still the same ribbon.
Because we didn't try to add anything to him.
They tried a bunch of times to add something to that. Dame, number one, didn't want to help recruit.
When a trade like this happens today... You now know there are 99% of the league is like, well, that doesn't make me safe as a player then.
Oh, well,
do I need to play the Cronin clip again of him three trade deadlines ago saying, we're going to go so all in, it's going to be embarrassing how all in. And then they literally backed right off that statement. No, they have not tried.
I
don't know if you have the guys that people want to do that.
They've just don't want to overpay. Yeah. They've been forced to overpay because they're the Blazers, and they said no. And it has handcuffed them severely.
It's tough to be a Blazer, man.
Because you sell the hope that
these
young guys
purgatory. You're always going to be here.
That's
what I'm
saying.
Sucks. Like, I mean, with or without, like, this is just what you expect in Portland. So I mean, you just win. Like, just go out there and compete. Try something. And I'm just like I said, overall. Would a Cooper Flagg be great? Yes. I mean, but a lot of the number one picks over the last little bit would have been great, or number that we weren't in the running for like that. So I don't want to get my hopes all up for something that's more than likely not going to happen. Now, could lightning strike again and get that number one pick that wasn't supposed to happen that year for the Blazers? Potentially, yes. But I don't want that to be – so I'm supposed to hold on to that hope to get Cooper Flagg as opposed to hold on to hope that this team can actually compete. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
No.
Yes, because again, a small market
one of those
franchise,
is more likely than not.
Small market franchise, building a team through the draft is the way to do it. Because you said it yourself, you can't get free agents. You said it also, if you trade for players, they're not going to want to stay here. So build a team through the draft of young players that then you can then make it a winning franchise, a top franchise, and make it one of the best. Because if you are one of the best teams in the league, and you have some of the best players, you're a one seed, a two seed, people are going to want to come play with you regardless of what market. Mm. Regardless of what market you're in. Whether it's L.A., whether it's San Antonio, whether it's Milwaukee, whether it's wherever. You can build a championship roster, and then people are going to be like, I want to go play with that guy. I want to play with that team. And you had a chance with Damian Lillard. A top player. You don't think there was anybody in the league that was like, damn, I'd like to play with Dame.
How many free agents have went to Milwaukee? Like, big-name free agents. How many of them went to Milwaukee to go play with Giannis after a championship? Or now knowing that Dame's there and say, you know what? That seems like somewhere I can go.
as far as
the places that you go matter. And I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a nice little city, a little bit from Chicago. Milwaukee is a nice little city, but compared to some other ones, no. So I get it. Like, I mean, I understand. Like, and if it were a certain places, then yes, I'll definitely go there. But there are sometimes people don't want to be certain places and don't want it. So I understand. Like, Giannis should be a person that people flock to, right? He's fun. He's super easy to get a bucket. Like, he's one of those media darlings and everything. People should be flocking to play with him. People should have been flocking to play with Dame. Am I wrong? The Four Bar Friday, all the stuff he did with the music and the community person he was, and the fact that everybody loved Damian Lillard, should have had tons of people coming and knock his door down to come play with Portland, right? Why didn't it happen?
Because Neil Olshey felt like that him and CJ that was the recipe.
Yep. Just
cook with that, and that'll be good enough.
Hey. It's not breaking news, guys. Yeah.
Jeez. We're up against it. We got to take a break. Whether we keep talking about this or I don't know if we want to switch to the Pro Bowl, but who does want to switch to the Pro Bowl at this point?
Can we talk about how to do something different? Like, this is just, I don't know. The Pro Bowl is unsavable, I think, at this point.
We do that next. But first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update.
So is the Pro Bowl, like, today? Did that already happen?
I think so.
I thought it was yesterday.
Remember
when the Pro Bowl was dope?
Yeah. Well, when it was in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, that was
the
awesome.
Week after the Super Bowl, so the actual players that, you know, were good enough to play in the Super Bowl.
Was it the week after?
It was.
I don't think it always was.
It was. No, at a point. It was the week after the Super
Bowl.
Oh,
after, sorry. Yes, you're right, it was. I remember because I was at my grandparents the week after the Super Bowl, and you see, like, oh, there's still football. It's the Pro Bowl, baby.
Yeah,
all right.
Pro Bowl. Like, it used to be good, and then one day they start going half-assed, and then it just never recovered.
I remember the last great Pro Bowl moment was Sean Taylor nearly killing that punter. When the punter tried to run a fake punt, I believe, the AFC. And the punter, I forget who it was, but he's running down the right sideline, and Sean Taylor just comes flying in and just absolutely demolishes this punter.
One of the weird face mask punters, like, you know, Scott Landenna or like Scott Player or something like that.
I don't remember who it was. I'm surprised he didn't die, though, because Sean Taylor just... it's one of the funnier moments ever. Because in a game that did not matter, the poor punter just going out there, running a fake punt, the coaches call it. Sean Taylor just said, F this.
He Ray Fossied him.
Just absolutely.
It's funny.
Terry Tate office linebackered him.
I'm looking up best Pro Bowl moments, and Sean Taylor's hit is the first one that pops up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nobody else so cares good. About anything else. The beach game was fun. I remember that on Waikiki Beach. Always had some fun events going on before the Pro Bowl and after.
Again, should we stop doing this, though? I mean, like, what's...
Unless we're going to bring back the old Pro Bowl, then I think so. It's unwatchable. Like, even flag football, you know what I want to see? Let's let the big boys play flag. Let's let the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen go out there.
Torn ACLs, hamstrings, Achilles.
I would love to see... an offensive lineman play quarterback or something like that, or, you know, and a D lineman playing running back or receiver.
Throw some goal line fades.
I feel like that would be so dope to see the big boys play. I would watch that.
Again, like, what is the point of the Pro Bowl at this point? Like, just to...
All-star. Every team needs, every sports league needs an all-star.
But when we have AP All-Pros, like... If I'm a NFL player, I would much rather at this point be named an AP. Would rather be named an AP All Pro than a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean it's like first team All NBA or something like that. Of course, you'd rather have that than be named an All Star. But you know, you get to be named a Pro Bowler. That means you're one of the best players at your position. You're one of the best three players for your conference in your position. Like, that's pretty dope. Like. And so I think it was always the best part about the Pro Bowl for me was always the jerseys, like the old Pro Bowl jerseys they used to have, like the AFC versus NFC type stuff. Like, those used to be dope. So I don't know if there's a way you can save that now. Like, I think they've tried and made some skills, brought the skills competition back. I think the main thing is it's on early in the morning. I want to say it's on like on like a Saturday or no. Number one, I think the skills competition came on a Friday morning. Who's watching that on Friday morning? I was at work. Did you have time to watch, Joe?
No, because also I did not care to watch it.
And also, you were probably at work.
I saw a clip of, I think it was Justin Jefferson trying to catch footballs with Hulk hands.
Huh. That's, I guess, like
I'm not even kidding.
That's, yeah, like the things you put on.
Hulk hands?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, it was like slip on the gloves and try and catch footballs out of the jugs machine with Hulk hands.
See, we're
it's a circus at this point.
Bro, let's just race. Let's just get these players together and do some 40-yard dashes and do some other stuff. Like, let's just race.
Let's just not do anything. How about that?
Or just kind of X-nay it completely. But I feel like they feel the NFL needs – they feel like they need an all-star type event. Because even in the NBA, like, the all-star game sucks now. It sucks so bad they've restructured it, like, four times over the last, like, 5 years.
Well, and the big – you know – the big reason behind all of this is money. Like, sports and the athletes have just become way too lucrative themselves I'm not going to risk any of that.
Which is crazy because they're making more money than ever. They have more, a better nutritionist than ever. There was a point that, like, NBA guys, NFL guys didn't even, like, have, they flew commercial and stuff like that. Now these guys got private planes and masseuse on the planes and chefs.
Well, not if you're Justin Tucker.
And everything. Well, not unless you're him. But they have all these resources now that those guys never had, and it's like, no, I don't want to play tonight, or I don't want to play in this game. And
yeah, you can't get NBA players to play in actual games now.
No kidding.
And so the All-Star game is like, man, if I'm in the NBA specifically, if I'm an All-Star, like, I should be embarrassed, but they're not. Because they're getting paid a lot of money to do it and everything. They've had to try to incentivize them so much to go out there and make the All-Star game competitive. You didn't have to incentivize Magic versus Jordan for the All-Star game. You knew that was going to be a lot of fun. You didn't have to incentivize Kobe. Remember that year that it was Jordan's last year, officially last year of the Wizards and everything, and he made the All-Star team?
Well, I remember that
freaking game.
He tried to dunk in that All-Star game and clinked it off the back of the rim.
Remember, Vince Carter gave him his starting spot because it was his last everything and everything, and then he hits that shot to end it, and then Kobe almost wins the game for them. It was like,
that was a controversy drama. Too. Vince did not want to give that starting spot up.
Like, they was really on Vince's head, and I'm like, bro, if the fans voted me in, then I should be. They could have voted Jordan, and they didn't, so now I'm supposed to give it up because it's his last game. Like,
yeah, he's the GOAT. Honestly, if I were in Vince's position, I'd be like, man, all right,
I would have said, man, cool. I'm the leading vote getter for the East. I'm not giving up my spot. But it's Michael Jordan, again, like you said, so you did it. But I say all that to say the drama that was involved there. Remember the year Kobe got his nose broken by, was it LeBron or D-Wade? And still came out and competed in the rest of the game? Like,
the last great...
Where is that? Where
last great All-Star game was the one where Kyle Lowry was, like, taking charges. What was that, 2019, 2020, maybe?
Oh, I can't remember.
Where they were, like, it was, and it might have been the first year that they did the Elam ending, where it was, like, score the 24 points.
That was Kobe. That was the Kobe year.
So I think it was 2020.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kyle Lowry was out there in the fourth quarter, like, taking charges. I don't know. As far as Pro Bowl goes, I mean, the game is too physical. The players cost too much to where they're willing to risk anything. At this point, just don't do anything. Be named a Pro Bowler. And then maybe have a ceremony. But at this point, like, what's the point of the Pro Bowl if there's no game? So just scrap it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it needs to
be
scrapped.
For God's sakes, Patrick Mahomes has probably been named a Pro Bowl their last three seasons, but he can't even play in it because he's too busy in a Super Bowl every damn year.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. So, again, that's why you don't even get to see the players that just participated in the Super Bowl.
Like, I saw, what was it, the other day that Drake May is going to be one of the replacements.
Yes,
I threw my phone when I saw that.
I'm like, what?
It's really?
I threw my phone. The game means nothing at this point. I say just make it a college game. Just make it the East-West game that already happens in college. Make that the Pro Bowl. Most of those guys are going to the NFL anyway in some regards. Like, but this is not... Number one, half-ass football is the worst sport you can possibly watch. It looks like somebody's filming a movie or something. It's not good at all. Half-ass basketball is also not fun to watch because I don't want to see half-court shots in the All-Star game. That's corny. They've made it the Harlem Globetrotters, essentially, for the NBA. So it's unwatchable.
Yeah. Nothing to do to save it. Unless you make the winner, like the charity prizes, just an insane amount of money to where it's just like you would make the players feel bad if they didn't try.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing they can do.
We can literally cure cancer with the winnings from this game.
And what's crazier is NBA players.
The teams would still just be like, eh.
They will go and hoop at Chris Brickley's gym, or they will go hoop at Summit, or they'll go hoop anywhere else and go full bore.
Yeah, that doesn't
summer
make sense to me.
Or anything like that. But get to the All-Star game, like, no, nah, we're going to take it easy today. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to
so
play
stupid
with these dudes who are nowhere near the NBA and go full bore and dunk all over their face, but you won't go do that in the All-Star game. Crazy to me.
Russell Wilson is a Pro Bowler this year.
Oh, yeah, he did get added as a late NFC replacement as well.
I mean, Russ had an okay season.
He didn't even play a full 17 games. Yeah, 17 games. But yeah.
Still, like, look at those numbers. It was pretty good.
Seriously, if you can slip into the Pro Bowl with like a 12 game season out of 17 in the NFL, this system is broken.
All right, let's wrap the show up next here. Football Sunday, 10 to the 5th. All right, final seggy. We are 1 week away from the Super Bowl, gents.
Here we go.
In pure football terms, this is a great matchup.
So I reach for my 40 and I turn it up.
This isn't karaoke Sunday.
It's everything else Sunday. Why not?
Calm down. In pure football terms, this is a great matchup. You have, obviously, Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense going against the best defense in the NFL this year in the Philadelphia Eagles. And then on the other side, you have the best running back in the NFL this year, Saquon Barkley, going up against Steve Spagnuolo and that vaunted defense as well, who always seems to get the right game plan made up for whatever team that they're playing. So one of those has got to give, and I am very curious to see what happens. With all that being said, C-H-I-E-F-S, Chiefs. Let's go, Kansas City. Please, please. I'm praying that the Eagles don't win another one.
I'm so sorry. I cannot stand Kansas City.
Both sides kind of suck here, don't they?
Cannot watch. I actually don't mind.
Come on, guys. Let's go win this game.
I don't mind
Philly. Let's win our third Super Bowl. Like, I know we can do it.
Jalen Hurts is likable. Saquon Barkley is lovable. Like, he's one of them per people.
Yeah,
that
but
you just
Philly
have to.
Fans
Philly
are
fans, and that's the
hateable
only reason
as hell.
That's the only reason I wouldn't want Philly to win is because their fans are insufferable. After the game last week against Washington, there's a shot of, or it's a video of some fans, some Washington fans leaving the game, and Philly fans are behind them and they're cheering them on. They, you know, they're egging them on. And I mean, it's okay. You know, just lost a football game, whatever. But one of the dudes took his hat, you know, took my man's beanie off and started running around with it. They're tossing around to people. I'm like, that's the corny stuff that makes people hate you guys. You know, I don't care that you booed Santa. Boo. Who cares about Santa? But
they threw D-cell batteries at the man.
Well, I mean, that's the part. Egregious. Like, when you start assaulting people, like, that's crazy. I can't remember who it was that almost broke their neck, or we thought they might have broke their neck, and they're carting them out, and they're pretty much cheering that this person. Not, like, in a supportive, we love you,
no,
you
yeah, know, he got injured kind
like,
of way.
Man, yeah, like, yeah, that's what you get type thing. Like, Philly fans are insufferable. I just cannot stand Patrick Mahomes, and I cannot stand Kansas City. The Chiefs, the fans, I don't mind. The fans are actually not too bad. It's just the Chiefs and the help that they get from the referees every game, every single game is.
We're working our butt off. We don't get any help from the Chiefs.
Come on,
why did Travis Kelce have to get with Taylor Swift? Why couldn't it have been like any other NFL player not on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Taylor Swift showed every single Travis Kelce catch, every single Travis Kelce block.
Good for her.
I don't mind she's dating anybody in the NFL, but I think it's attached to the whole Chiefs thing.
It is.
It just starts
it just
to become this unpalatable glob of gook.
Like, she was dating somebody from the Lakers or something like that.
No, even the New York Giants.
There, it's like, yo,
the Dolphins.
Irritating.
She was dating Tua, whoever.
Bunch of haters. Go Chiefs. Go Kansas City.
I honestly am not rooting for either team.
I'm rooting for a Chiefs hard.
I might not even watch this game.
I'm going KC hard.
I might just take a nap.
You Cowboys fan, you.
You
know where Kansas City used to be located, right?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's historical context behind that.
It's true. They won a championship in their only season in Dallas, actually.
But next week is our Super Bowl Sunday show. I'm going to talk to some of the weekday guys to come on for a segment and make this show a little bit better. Because I know You're out here listening to us because you love us so much, but you are not listening to 1080 The Fan just for us. You listen to it because of the weekday shows. We're just schlubs and hanger-ons here. So we're going to try and get Dusty. We're going to try and get Dirt or Sprague. We're going to see if Sook's willing to jump on. Kind of what we did last year, kind of Super Bowl roundtable throughout the day. But we are 1 week away from the big game. Rashad, appreciate you as always.
My guy.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love everybody out there. Enjoy your week of last football game, I guess, or leading up to it.
Super Bowl preparations. Yes, thank you all for listening out there. And we will catch you next Sunday for our Super Bowl Sunday show. Peace.